Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I mean, you mothers. How many of you have a mother? Okay, that's good. We're batting 100 here. You're all awake. Actually, this week was a very momentous week. There are a lot of things that have happened, but some of you, if you've been following on your prayer calendars, there was an event that was said to have taken place on Thursday, but it actually took place on Friday. And so I'm going to ask Mr. and Mrs. Greening to stand up at this time. Yes, that's right. You have strength. Mr. and Mrs. Greening celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary. Not only have they celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary, they have celebrated the marvelous grace of God together for all these years. And they have served the Lord faithfully and just have been a wonderful role models for us in our marriages. And so would you be sure to greet Mr. and Mrs. Greening? And you could ask them as to the secret of their longevity and success in marriage. And there's some very profound words of wisdom there that we can learn from them. So bless you, Mr. and Mrs. Greening. Thank you for your steadfast love for the Lord and your faithfulness in serving God all these years. I spoke with my mother this morning. My mother lives ways from here, and chatted for a while, for about a half hour, and wish she was here, to be honest. Sorry. It's her first Mother's Day without her life's mate. And so those of you who are widows, you understand what that's like. And so our prayers are certainly with you as well as I think of my mother. And so today is the 13th of May, Mother's Day. Actually, my sister Denise was born on Mother's Day, May 14th. And so tomorrow's her birthday. And think of the gifts that God gives us in children. Why would we celebrate Mother's Day anyway? Well, hopefully it would be at least one of the ways in which we can express our appreciation and love for their commitment in our lives. They're the ones, after all, who, if you were raised in a godly home, you were probably taught the scriptures, taught how to pray. You were taught important lessons about respect and love, forgiveness. These are the things that mothers have come to understand, and mothers seek to bring unity and peace in the family. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan had four sons, and they, of course, all became ministers. And so at a family reunion, a friend asked one of the sons, "Which Morgan is the greatest preacher?" Well, the son looked at the father. He replied, "Mother." Without mothers, you and I would have a far more difficult life. Not to mention the sense of insecurity and lack of love that we've come to appreciate. And so as you go back to the early books of the scriptures, the early chapters, God's design for marriage is that it would be between a man and a woman for life. And so God's design for marriage is such that we might appreciate the value that is found in our mothers. God created the woman as a lifelong companion for the man. Some say you can't live with them and you can't live without them. I've come to appreciate the fact that I need my wife. And although she sleeps a lot, I appreciate her. I thought we ought to take off where we left off last week, right? What do you think? Yeah, not too well. But I enjoyed it, so I'm looking forward to more. Hang in there. I think sometimes women feel that they are second-class citizens, inferior. And so the book of Proverbs, of course, tells us that the godly woman is deeply loved by God and needed to have a healthy society. In fact, the scriptures state emphatically that men and women are equal in God's standing as it relates to how they're valued. And so the woman is not inferior in any way by God's design. In fact, without her, we would all face instability in life. And so thank you, ladies, for putting up with the caricatures that are often displayed in the way people, men in particular, treat women. We live in times where the clear lines of responsibility, the roles, have been blurred. And so today we are prepared to say that we can have marriages that are made of the same sex, not male and female, but female and female and male and male. This has blurred the values of family. Of course, this has had an impact on all of our families, and hopefully we have chosen to draw closer to God as a result of man's inaccurate perspective and blurred view. But our society is in need of godly women. Godly women who are not only in the home, but who have a role in the places of work and the like. Of course, choice women, God's choice women are needed who can model what it means to be a complement, a role, a complementary role to that of the man. Choice women are needed who can model what holiness is within the context of our world, which has confused the role of women. And not only in the world is the role of women confused, but it's confused in the role in the ministry of the church. Choice women are needed who can nurture their children so that they can grow up without feeling insecure and unloved. And so I just want to express a short prayer here for you ladies, and then I'd like to go on with a child dedication service that we have planned here this morning. Let's just pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for our mothers. We thank you for godly women, godly mothers who love you and who have taken their role seriously, who have sought to provide the kind of example in the home, the kind of counsel that has been needed for us as children. Thank you for my own mother who went to great lengths to, as it were, pound into me at times when I was just so stubborn, but who also consoled me and loved me and hugged me and prayed with me and for me. Lord, we pray that our church would be filled with women who love you, who are committed to trusting you and seeking you for wisdom as they face the challenges of life. Pray that you would bless each home and that each husband here would appreciate deeply their wife. Thank you for our families, and just pray that you'll bless the remainder of our service together. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we have several families who want to take their stand and have a desire to nurture their children in the ways of the Lord. And so I'll ask you to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, in the sixth chapter. We celebrate the gift of life. And so every morning at 6, when Nat was just a little guy, he would be standing by my bed and with his blanket and his thumb in his mouth. "Is it time to get up yet, Dad?" Of course, he pulled his thumb out at that point, and then as he finished his sentence, he went like this. I got to see that picture morning after morning, and of course, it always brought a smile to my face. I'm just glad he's not doing it anymore. I hear he gets blessed. I think it's around 4 or 5 in the morning, right, when Samuel wakes up. And apparently Candace can feed the baby and still sleep. I don't know how that works, but I always had to get up and hold the bottle, so I know I couldn't sleep. So, gift of life found in children. We're blessed here as a church family to have so many moms and dads who value family. The family is under attack. The number of orphans, the number of broken homes is having an impact on Canadian life. Maybe Winkler is a little bit behind, as it were, to the statistics. Maybe we can't fully appreciate the dysfunction of society, but unfortunately, the statistics even in our own community are rising. And so children are often faced with, where do we find the answers to life? And so when mothers and fathers don't provide that kind of counsel and security, children look elsewhere. And they try to find the solutions in themselves. As I've mentioned in the past, when it comes to the spiritual health of the family, that is what determines the health of a community and determines the health of our country. Today we rejoice with Andreas and Irene, Bruce and Heather, and Frank and Irina. They want to honor the Lord in public, declaring that they would desire to nurture their children in the ways of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." This was written to a generation that saw the consequences of their parents who failed to love and honor God. I wonder if we can learn from the failures of previous generations. I'm wondering if we could take this passage to heart. If you were to look at all the children in Scripture, and I have just a short list that I just want to make a few remarks in regards to, you'll recognize that, first of all of the families, all of the moms and dads, we're imperfect. The very first parents had children in the midst of sin, living in sin. We live in sin. We live in a sinful world. We're all sinners. We're all in need of God's grace. We all need strength and enablement. We need God's wisdom to do the job. Consider Adam and Eve, who had two boys, Cain and Abel. Cain, of course, was the hope of salvation that we read about in Genesis chapter 4. But then he proved to be a disappointment, and the effects of the curse would be felt throughout their lifetimes. What about Noah and his wife? They had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They were to rebuild the lost world in the hopes of establishing godly seed, only to witness the shame of Ham and the curse upon Canaan. What about Job's children? We say, what about Job's children? They died a premature death. But nonetheless, Job, as a godly father, enjoyed the blessing of praying for them, nurturing them, and caring for them. I think we can look at Job and say, although he faced many difficulties, God was still his strength, and God blessed him for his steadfastness, even far more at the end of his life. What about Abraham and Sarah? The miracle birth. Well, it wasn't without a challenge because Ishmael also was born. Ishmael was another hope in fulfilling a promise of God, but misunderstood by Abraham and Sarah. In fact, Isaac would be the one through whom God would bring about the promised blessing, and it happened in the most unlikely way, born to them in their old age when it had to be a supernatural at birth. Isaac and Rebekah had twin boys, Esau and Jacob. Esau, we'd call him Red. wasn't all that excited about the promise, and who in turn gave up his birthright. And Jacob capitalized on that weak moment, and that affected their relationship for life. What about Jacob and Rachel? Rachel, the love of his life, who waited years and years and had many children before they finally had a child together named Joseph. Joseph, born to his father late in life, who didn't have the influence of a godly mother for a long time, and who suffered at the hands of his brothers. We say, boy, that's awfully difficult. These life stories, these are supposed to be great men of the faith. Like, they had a lot of disappointment. Mm-hmm. They sure did. Amram and Jochebed, who had Moses, the reluctant deliverer, who had to wait till he was 80 years old before he could be used of God, but yet who did great things for God. Then there's Elkanah and Hannah, who had dedicated a boy. As a barren woman, she made a promise, and they had a little boy named Samuel. She received the answer to a prayer, and she was true to her word in dedicating Samuel to the Lord's service. Samuel, who in turn led a weak nation and was used of God in anointing two kings, and yet, as a father, faced a disappointment in his own sons not walking in the ways of the Lord. Manoah and his wife also had a prayer and prayed to God, and God worked out a miraculous event in their lives in having Samson. Mighty Samson. God can use a Samson, we say. But God had to use Samson even in the midst of personal failure. Much of his life was a disappointment. What about Ruth and Boaz? The unlikely marriage between a Moabite and a Jew. They were the great-grandparents of David. David, who, although a shepherd boy, proved to be Israel's greatest king. And then the reference to Josiah, the boy who would be king at 8 years of age, whose father had reigned for a very short period of time and was assassinated. Having become the king at age 8, he challenged the nation to turn from their evil ways. Oh, that we would have Josiahs. Oh, that we would have boys who'd be prepared to be kings at the age of 8 and walk with God and be courageous. What about Zechariah and Elizabeth and John the Baptist? John the Baptist, born to parents in their old age, and in answer to prayer again, Zechariah, having prayed for his wife Elizabeth, was able to bear the one who would prepare the coming of the Messiah. Oh, that we would be John the Baptist, that our children would go on to prepare other men and boys and girls and men and women for the coming Messiah, because that's the message we're to proclaim. He's coming again. And then we have Joseph and Mary, caught in a scandal. Mary accused of having a premarital relationship. Joseph, a man of courage, willing to take away the shame in her life, married her as God had told him. And so they have the Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, who would walk among us and teach us how to live. And yet, we crucified him. And so as you read scriptures, moms and dads, you parents who are going to dedicate your children, it doesn't take long to realize that we live in an imperfect world. And that each set of parents has faced challenges, and yet at the same time, as I was on the floor with Samuel last night, having him look up into my eyes with a smile on his face, boy, that guy looks funny. And just enjoy seeing him respond. Responding to, yes, imperfect human beings. Who of us, having held our children, didn't wonder at the miraculous birth? Didn't wonder for a moment, what will God do through this life? Lord, give me the wisdom that I'll need so that I can raise this child, so that this child may go on to honor you. You see, apart from God's enabling power, we as parents don't have a hope in getting a job done. And so today, you as parents, we as parents, need to realize that we actually need a Savior. One who will save us from the shame of failure. But guess what? We have a Savior. He's the Lord Jesus. He's a supreme example. You say, where are the supreme parents? That's the reason why we need a Savior, because none of us are supreme parents. You say, well, my parents were godly parents. Praise God, but they were still imperfect human beings. And they'd be only too quick to admit and confess that they often felt inadequate and they failed. Today, we realize that God has given us His Word. All of these examples that we talked about briefly, they're found in God's Word. We look at some of the failures, but also we're reminded in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. They weren't complete failures. They had godly parents, and those kids went on to be godly parents. And although they were imperfect, they still honored God and they trusted Him. They did so imperfectly, just as you and I do, but they still did love God. Today we were to realize that the Holy Spirit is the one that gives life and enablement for the task. Without the working of the Spirit of God in our lives, we can't get the job done. How does that Spirit of God work in our lives? Reminding you of the truth found in God's Word. Helping you understand that God loves you. You could memorize the Word of God. You could know it in every language. If you had all of that, but you didn't walk with God, and you didn't honor God in the raising of your family, your life would be a failure. And so the Savior and the Word and the Spirit are the realizations that enable us to turn to God for wisdom. How do I turn to God for wisdom? Well, I try to do it every day. Do you know what I do? What do you think I do? I just write God an email, need wisdom today. What do you think? No, I dial up my phone and I, Lord, have I got your number? I got your number. I know you're out there. I need wisdom. No. I humble myself before God and I kneel down and I say, Lord, I just want to honor you today. I need help in being the dad and the husband you want me to be. And so that's how we get wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. How do we get strength? Well, we got the spiritual barbells at home. You ever see my spiritual gym? What do you think, Lori? Have you been down to my spiritual gym, my office? All I do is lift commentaries. No, it's not the way it works. You know what I got to do is I got to bow down again and say, Lord, I'm weak. I not only lack wisdom, but I lack strength and power. And without your power and your enablement, I can't do the job. And I need patience. Motto over the top of my door, Lord, I want patience, but I want it right now. How many of you got that written down in your Bibles, right? Go find a verse. Patience takes a lifetime. I'm careful about how I pray for that because there's a verse in Scripture that says that trials work patience. And you know, most of us want, when we get up in the morning, we want it easy. We don't want the kids to squabble. We don't want any spilt milk. And we don't want any poopy diapers. Sorry, you shouldn't have gotten out of bed. Because it's going to come. And so I ask God for patience because all too often I'm not willing to wait. And again, I bow the knee. Perseverance. What's that? That's one of those big words that says, keep going. Keep on going. Don't give up. Don't stop. I'm going to keep going. Got to keep going. Wow. I got one raised, three more to go. Boy, that one survived. It's a good thing. Hope the next one does. That's pretty much what it's like when you're raising kids. Because from sunrise to sunset, it's a battle. The fruit of a godly marriage is a godly heritage. Turn with me to Psalm 127. Teaching young lives to honor the Lord, to love God, is of utmost importance. And we try to do it here in our church through Sunday school and youth, and we do our best. But you know something, moms and dads, it's you. You're the ones who are ultimately responsible. And you as grandparents are ultimately responsible for the raising of your children. Teaching them that without the Lord's help, we labor in vain. It's going to take both a godly father and a godly mother. You can't do it alone. And for those of us who find ourselves doing the job alone, God's grace is still sufficient even for that task. I want you to realize that there are no guarantees. You say, we both knelt down, we both prayed, we trusted God, and yet our kids are not walking where they should. There are no guarantees. There's no guarantees that your children are going to go on serving the Lord. But the proverb that says, train up your child in the way that he should go, and that when he's old, he'll not depart from it, has all with you and I respecting the natural bent of our children. It's respecting the fact that they actually have interests. And so you and I, when we ask God for wisdom, we want to find a way in which we can energize the bent that God created in those kids. Well, my son likes to drive motorcycles. He wants to be a track racer. Are you sure that's his bent? Well, he loves to work on engines, and he likes to do those kinds of things. Well, yeah, maybe you can do that. Maybe, who knows? Maybe he'll do that and serve the Lord in that way. Oh, there aren't any Christians in that. There's Christians everywhere because God has salted the earth with believers. There are Christians on racetracks. There are Christians flying planes, driving boats. There are Christians who are engineers and doctors and lawyers. There are Christians in every walk of life. Musicians, beautiful people, artists. We have to think about how can we nurture this bent. So there's no precise parenting book. Frank, you know that, right? No precise parenting rule book. So Irina quit looking around the house. Frank didn't bring it with him. We would like one, wouldn't we? Children, look, it says right here in the book, rule number, subsection A, B, underlined, in fact, by God. No, it doesn't work that way. You say, well, Mike, so far the only thing you've told me for sure is that I'm going to raise my children imperfectly. You are. But my prayer is that you'll do it with God's strength. Andreas and Irene. That you'll ask God to give you the wisdom. Bruce and Heather, you're going to need to raise your children prayerfully. And you're going to need to realize the Lord is present to equip you with that task. I'm going to ask Andreas and Irene, Bruce and Heather, and Frank and Irina to come up with their children this time. And while they're coming, we're going to read Psalm 127. Verse 1, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. We ask the grandparents to come up and stand behind their kids. Come on, Grandma and Grandpa. Stand behind your kids. Yeah, you too. Yeah, get up here. Don't even be frightened at all. We're not going to bite you up here. Yeah. You see, it takes at least two generations to raise a family. We're finding that out more so today because, you see, many parents don't stay the course. And so the grandparents have to raise the kids. I'm sure these grandparents would love their children to raise their own children through life and be able to just simply stand beside them and behind them rather than to actually take over that responsibility. But we already know that that often isn't the case. And so it gets to be a challenge, doesn't it? I've asked the fathers if they would pray for their children on behalf of their family. And then I'll have a closing prayer with them.
Lord, we come to you this morning. I just first off want to thank you for Irina and your blessing upon her marriage. Thank you for her and for her health and strength. And thank you that she's able to have children. Just praise you for that. Pray that she would find great joy in being a mother. Thank you, Lord, for Adam, Aaliyah, and Savannah and their health and just the life that we've had with them so far. Just want to pray, we want to dedicate them to you, Lord. We pray that they would realize at a young age that they are in need of a Savior and that you love them and that you care for them and that they would also learn at a young age to treat others the way they would like to be treated naturally, and also just that is a way of life that's pleasing to you, and that's it's a fulfilled life. We help them to, when they face challenges, that they would not give up, but that they would look to you for strength. Help Irina and I to be godly parents, that they could come to us that we would grant us wisdom, Lord, that we could teach them your truths and your ways. It's just there's so much to learn, and we thank you for that. Thank you that you've opened our eyes and that we can start to see your love toward us as the songs we sang this morning, just beautiful. Thank you for your love toward us. Help us to love our children. Help us to teach them. Help them to also love you and love the people that they're in contact with, Lord. We just ask your blessing upon them. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your daily provision. Thank you that we have the opportunity to raise children, Lord, and that we can just be blessed by them as well, Lord. And just thank you for Miriam right now and the blessing she has been for us. I pray that you'll just give us the wisdom that we need as we raise her and Selah and Kezia each day, Lord. Pray you give us give us the patience that we need as well as we do so, and Heather especially as she spends all day with them and teaching them and just raising them, Lord. Pray you'll just help us spend time with them in your word and praying with them, Lord, so they can understand it and to learn from it as well, Lord, and grow as believers in you. So thank you for my parents and her parents, and the help they are in helping us, raising our kids, and the wisdom that we can get from them as well as they can give us advice in different areas, Lord. I'll pray this all in your name. Amen.
Lord, I come to you in this morning. I will thank you too for my wife, for my family, for my children. And today we will ask you for Joanne, that you bless her, Lord, and help her to love you, to follow you. And we need that. We need your wisdom. We need your help. And that we can be light for them, that we can teach them the truth. I thank you for everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll ask you as a congregation to stand with us, and we'll have a closing prayer for them. We're going to pray a little more, just for a little bit, okay? Just short prayer, okay? Lord, we thank you again for this church body, men and women who love you, committed to raising their families in a godly way. We thank you, Lord, for a wonderful Savior. We thank you that you're the loving Father and that through the person of your Son, you've brought us into a relationship with you. We thank you for the children that these parents have been able and privileged to have, Joanne, Miriam, Adam, Aaliyah, and Savannah. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them amongst us so that we might see their love and joy. Father, we stand not only with these children, but with their parents and their grandparents. And Lord, we offer these children back to you in full recognition that these children have been entrusted to their care, to their hands. And we as your people, Lord, prayerfully affirm and recognize the need of your care, your watchfulness over us. And so that throughout the duration of their lives, we ask that you guide these parents and these children in the ways of truth and life in the Lord Jesus. Graciously mold these children in their young years. Give them the will to resist temptation and lead them to experience the forgiveness and eternal life that is found only in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we join our prayers and those of their parents today. And so in the name of the Lord Jesus, we as parents and your people solemnly commit ourselves to the Christian nurture of all these children that you've entrusted to our care. Receive these children, and these are acts of dedication in the love and the name of the Lord Jesus, your Son. Amen. You may be seated. The boy who would be king, unfortunately, had a short life, but he proved to be one of the greatest kings in Israel's history. There have been many, many believers who have lived, as it were, short lives, who proved to have done God's great work. But if you get to live a long time, you get to do God's great work over a longer period of time. And so Mr. and Mrs. Greening are an example of a life of faith, who sought God prayerfully for wisdom as they raised their family. And they still do it today. And they could attest to the fact of God's goodness, but they could also attest to the fact that much of it is still a trial in life. They still have burdens. They still have cares. And so that's life. But it's not life without Christ, and it's not life without hope, and it's not life without joy. May the Lord bless you as you celebrate Mother's Day. If you haven't talked to your mother and said Happy Mother's Day, and if you served her breakfast in bed, make sure you clean up the crumbs. Lord bless you. Give each other a holy handshake. Have a great day.